Welcome to those worshiping with us online. Let's begin by singing and worshiping our God this morning. Let's sing this out together. We continue in worship. Part of why we gather this morning, I know we hear this pretty much every single week. We've come, we center ourselves on who he is, but it's also an opportunity to be reminded that God is here, he's present. That's always the case. He's actually living inside those of us who have decided to follow him. And yet, I know sometimes it feels like he's distant, that he's not at work in our lives. And so part of our task this morning is we want to grow in awareness of what it is that he's doing in our lives and the fact that he's here and that he's present, longing to meet with you, longing to speak to you. So even just this morning, say hello, say good morning to God before we continue. Maybe it was a hurry as you got here this morning, but go ahead and just acknowledge his presence here in this room with us and with you, and then join in as Mariah sings this next song. Let's sing, "You Are Here."
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
God, we do. We worship you this morning. Thank you for making a way in our lives. We can probably all point to a moment or something you've done where, God, you've showed up and your presence has been so tangible to us. And for those this morning that are coming and it just feels like you're distant or they're wondering if you're even there at all, God, would you open our eyes this morning to your glory, to who you are, to your presence here with us? Would you make a way when we need encouragement? Would you make a way when we need healing? Would you make a way when we just need to hear from you, when we need to experience you? So God, we look forward to what it is that you're going to do as we continue in worship, as we open up your word together. We love you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen.
Amen. Well, hey, fifth and sixth graders in the room, you guys can go ahead and head out to 56. Go meet your leaders out there. Everyone else, you can go ahead and take a seat. Welcome to everybody in the room, everyone online. It's so good to worship with you all this morning. If we haven't met yet, my name's Christian. I'm on staff here at Blackhawk. I work with our spiritual formation team, and I focus specifically on our young adult ministry, so 20s and 30s, thinking about their spiritual health and development. So if that's you and I haven't met you yet, I would love to. So come say hi after service, meet me out in the atrium. I would love to find the ways that will help you best get connected. We're all about thinking about the ways that we can connect, grow, and learn. And so even if you're not in your 20s and 30s and you are thinking about what your next step might be, let us help you figure that out. We would love to get you plugged in. And you can check us out at the info desk or grab more information online. All right, so today is a very special day in the life of our church. You may or may not know, we are actually one church, three locations, and online. We serve the greater Madison community with the love of Jesus. And so our Fitchburg site is actually celebrating their 10th anniversary as a site today, which is incredible. And so we just want to celebrate them. And so we got a little message from Matt and Daniel. So I'm going to kick it to the screens for that.
Well, hey, everybody, welcome to Blackhawk Church. And hey, let me do a quick shout out to Blackhawk Fitchburg for their 10-year anniversary today. How awesome is that? If I've never met you, my name is Matt, and I'm the senior pastor here at Blackhawk Church.
That's right. And my name is Daniel Owen. I'm the lead site pastor at Blackhawk Fitchburg.
Happy 10-year anniversary,
man. It's awesome.
That's so fantastic.
So
now, here's the thing. If you're new around Blackhawk, we are one church in a lot of different locations. That's at our Brader Way location in downtown here at Fitchburg, the people who meet online. But we are one church all together, the way that we connect. And when we look back at the journey that God has taken us on to be able to be in this place, it really is pretty amazing to think back through.
Yeah, it really is amazing. You know, back in March of 2013, a group of people came together and said, we want to reach our city, the city of Fitchburg, and their local community. And so they started meeting in a school called Savannah Oaks Middle School, which is unreal, right? How do we transform a school into a church?
Church and a
every
school.
Every Sunday, but they did it. They banded together, they came together, they set things up, staging, classrooms, everything. And they made a church and a worship place on Sunday mornings in a school. In fact, one time we were in the gymnasium and a dodgeball fell out of the ceiling, you know, during service, which is great.
We should do that more often.
I think so. Or at least get one of those beach ball things that would bounce around.
Get a dodgeball, right, like the Holy Spirit
totally.
On it. You could throw it at people.
I know. It was a real movement of God right there. So it was really good. It was a great community. But there was something stirring in us. We wanted something to kind of have roots here and a place that people could call home. And so in 2019, we were able to build this place, honestly, because of the generosity of so many of you at Blackhawk Church. And so it's been great being here, and who knows what God is going to do over the next 10 years.
When we take a look at what God's done here, really, today, obviously, Blackhawk Fitchburg, you are going to be celebrating.
Yes, we are.
But this is really a celebration for our entire church. Mm-hmm. Because when we look at a place like this, this happened not just because a group of people in Fitchburg had a vision, but because our entire church collectively, all sites and venues, all of us dreaming about what it is that God had in store for us in the future. And it's the way that God moved through us. When we lock arms and run after the heart of God together, He does amazing things. And so for so many of you, like Daniel was saying, who gave, who sacrificed, who prayed, who served in so many ways to make something like this happen, We just can't thank you enough. And we get so incredibly excited thinking about what it is that God has in store for our church as we move in the future. So, Blackhawk Fitchburg, happy 10-year anniversary.
Happy 10 years! Woo!
And it's still raining.
Oh, right.
Like Matt said, this is a really special day for Blackhawk Fitchburg, but it's actually a really special day for all of us. Fitchburg was, the new building was paid for by the Reach campaign, so all of you who were here for that a few years ago, thank you for your generosity to make that happen. We're so excited to celebrate with them today, and we can't wait to see what the next 10 years holds for Blackhawk Fitchburg and what God's going to do in and through that community. We are continuing today in our Live This Book series. Jesus has just entered the scene, and so we are going to continue with that, and I'm going to pass it off to Pastor Chris for today's message.
All right. Hey, listen, all sites and venues, loud applause for Blackhawk Fitchburg's 10th anniversary. Let them hear us. Yes, Blackhawk Fitchburg. Yeah. Woo. All right. Yes. Amazing. 10 years has gone by so quick, and we just thank God. To God and God alone deserves the praise for what's happened. As Matt said, it takes a lot of people to make what happened happen. So we just praise God, and to him alone goes all the glory and the honor and the praise. So thank you, Lord, for what you've done. So many answers to prayer. Amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. You wouldn't believe it. Absolutely, amen. Hey, listen, my name's Chris. Did I say that already? No. My name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Blackhawk Church. Welcome to those of you in the room with me. Those of you who are at Blackhawk Fitchburg, obviously. Those of you who are downtown. Those of you who are in the gospel venue and traditions. And those of you who are online, whether you're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or Prescott, Arizona, doesn't matter. We're so glad that you are with us today. And we are continuing in this series, Live This Book. And we were in the Old Testament until last week. We started in September, and we were in the Old Testament for a long time. And then last week, Pastor Matt moved us into the New Testament. And last week was the first of six Sundays on the main character in the New Testament, and his name is?
Jesus.
When I do this, you can participate in the message itself, okay? Main character in the New Testament is?
Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. And so this message is like part B to Matt's message. So the messages go together like two sides of the same coin. Last week, Pastor Matt talked about the fact that Jesus is God, 100% God, absolutely. And today, my talk is that Jesus is a human being, 100%, absolutely. He's very unique. He's both God and human at the same time. Pastor Matt talked about a complicated theological world called the hypostatic union that defines what we're talking about today. He's also human. So what comes into your mind when you think about Jesus? What do you picture when someone says Jesus? I mean, this is a church, and we've already sang about him. You've spoken his name already in this worship service. So let's think about that. What comes into your mind? Just think about that for a second. Jesus. You think about a person with a lot of children around him? Do you think about a person maybe on the clouds? Do you think about someone who's walking down a dirty street with lots of people around him? What? Jesus. For many of us who are older, when someone says the name Jesus, we might think of this picture right here. is a portrait painted in 1941 by Warner Solomon. And literally, there are about 500 million of these images of Jesus around the globe. And the church that my grandma and grandpa went to in Southern Illinois, this portrait was in the very front of the sanctuary. So when you came in and looked, there was a cross, and then there was something that said hymn number, and then it gave the numbers, and then there was this. And you. So when I grew up, I was thinking of that. For many of us today, when someone says Jesus, you may think of this person right here. So this is Jonathan Rumi, the actor who plays the lead role of Jesus in the streaming movies called The Chosen, came out in 2017. Very powerful series. If you haven't seen The Chosen, I'd recommend it. So he's a great actor. He's actually 48 years old. I don't know if you knew that or not. And that might surprise you because he's actually tall. He's tall and handsome, isn't he? No offense to 48-year-olds in the room right here. Sorry. Going to get some emails on that one right there. Sorry about that. He's tall and handsome, isn't he? I mean, if you were going to put together a successful movie series about Jesus, the lead character is going to probably look something. He's going to be tall and handsome because you want a lot of people to click on and all that. But that's not what Jesus actually looked like. He was not tall and handsome, at least according to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah writes this. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. That's from Isaiah 53. It was written 700 years before Jesus walked around the streets of Nazareth. It's a prediction, a prophecy about what he would look like. We have no physical description of Jesus in the Bible anywhere. That's interesting, isn't it? In a world of Instagram, the most popular human being that's ever lived, we really don't know what he looked like. But I would lean a lot into Isaiah's words that he was probably someone that you would not stand, he would not stand out in a crowd. He was very common looking. What I'm saying is this, is that if Jesus, the real Jesus, was to apply for the part of Jesus in the series The Chosen, he wouldn't get the part. They wouldn't even let him read for the part because he looked homely. Someone you don't want to look at. Very common. That's the idea. If we could get in a time capsule and go back to Nazareth and you kind of go around the streets of Nazareth and you ask for Jesus, well, that would be silly. Jesus, we know Jesus, right, is an English word. We know that, right? It's not his name. Okay. Hebrew, Yeshua. See? Go around Jesus. People are like, what are you talking about? It's Yeshua. Where's Yeshua? Where's Yeshua? And then somebody would say, oh, yeah, I think you're looking for the guy that fixed my aunt's broken chair when my overweight uncle sat on it too heavy and it broke. He's in this very popular carpenter shop because they do really good work. And you go in and you meet Yeshua. And he's like down on his hands and knees and he's working with wood. He's got splinters in his hands. Maybe his hands are probably rough. He's got sawdust in his hair. He's got a muscular hands, rough hands. Have you ever shaken hands with a carpenter who had soft hands? He'd been working. He probably smells, actually. He's got body odor. You know showers like we have today, they didn't exist back. You know that, right? And the deodorants that we have and all that kind of stuff, they didn't have that back then. So he probably smells. He went to the bathroom. Did you guys know that? When he ate beans, the same thing happened to him. What, right? Why would that happen to him? Because he's human. Can you imagine being new to Blackhawk right now and people going, why? I've never heard a message like this. Who is this guy? Why? He's human. And it's so obvious, but we miss that. And that's what makes a message like this so hard in this series. Because it's hard to talk about Jesus in church because, well, we're in church. And the name of Jesus is so familiar to us that we lose his humanity, if you follow. That's why you laughed when I said he would go to the bathroom. We're so familiar with the name Jesus that we miss his humanity. It's right there in the text, you guys. And we read over it. We miss it. We don't see it. It's like this. I'm very familiar with looking at myself in a mirror. I do it all the time. And I went to the doctor some years ago, and I had a sore shoulder. And I went to my doctor to see if she could kind of help me with my sore shoulder. And you know, when you go to the doctor, they give you one of those shirts, not like this, but a backward shirt, you know, they put on and doesn't tie in the back. Nobody can ever really make those things tie in the back. And then I sat down on some bench that had paper on and stuff like that. And then she comes in, my doctor, and she says, hey, Chris, I'm going to see your shoulder, so if you can kind of take that gown thing off. So I took the gown, and as soon as I take the gown, my doctor looked at me, she goes, what is that? And I said, what's what? And she's pointing right in the center of my chest. She goes, what's that right there? And she was looking at kind of a little red spot right in the center of my chest. I look at myself all the time. I never saw it. But she's got doctor's eyes. She saw that thing. And she grabs some not a magnifying glass, but something the doctors use. And she goes, that's very interesting. I want to take a look at that. If it's okay with you, I want to like freeze that and cut a little bit of it and do a biopsy. Don't ask me. I said, you're the doctor. Do whatever you want to do. I'm fine with that. So she did a little biopsy. Now everything's fine. I'm fine. Happened years ago. My point is this. I look at myself all the time. Very familiar with myself. But I miss the obvious. And that's what this talk is about today. I don't want us to be so familiar with Jesus. I mean, we're church. Jesus. We miss the obvious. He's a human being. And his being a human being is crucial to the storyline of the Bible. Here's the storyline of the Bible. These are the seven statements that we're going through in this series. God's plan for, what's that word? Bingo. Humanity, all through this. God's plan for humanity, the humans rebel. God chooses a people, it's a human people. God's human people rebel. Jesus is the king, the empowered church bunch of people. God's mission accomplished with the human people. Without Jesus being human, this is not the storyline of the Bible. His humanity is central to the storyline of the Bible. Crucial, absolutely key. Well, why, Pastor Chris? It's 4 points. Here's my first point. Jesus as human means that he can represent humanity as God's faithful human partner. Whenever you're trying to answer really complex, deep theological issues, go to Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Pretty much right there, and the rest of the Bible is an appendix, pretty much. Genesis 1, we read this. No telling how many times we refer to this passage in this series. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This is the plan. This is the plan. God creates this wonderful place. It's like his temple. And he creates human beings to care for his temple. And he gives them these instructions. God's plan is that he's going to partner with human beings who are made in his image so that this wonderful creation would just be fantastic. And the human beings would have a perfect relationship with him, a perfect relationship with each other, and a perfect relationship with all of creation. But there's a fly in the ointment. The humans rebel. And when the humans rebel, this partnership that God wants with humans so that he can accomplish his plan is broken. It's broken. So what God needs in order for this plan for humans to work out is he needs a partnership with a human being that won't drop the ball, a perfect human being. And Jesus is that perfect human being. So that at the end of all time, then Jesus will return and there will be a perfect relationship again between human beings, between God, and between each other and between creation. And that is not the end. That's the beginning of a new beginning. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And we live on this little segment of eternity called time right now. But most of it is going to be with God on this planet. It's going to be incredible. But in order to get there, God has to partner with a perfect human being. And that's why he sends Jesus, who is human. How you doing with that? You follow that? Central to the storyline of the Bible. The first Adam messed up. So he needs another Adam. He needs a new Adam so that he can remake human beings. That's the second point. Jesus is human means that he is able to remake humanity. He's Adam number two. This is a point that the Apostle Paul makes in Romans chapter 5. Adam, he's talking about the guy in the garden, who is a pattern, a tupos, of the one to come. That would be Jesus. Adam 1 is a tupos, a type, a pattern. There's going to be another Adam to come, and that's Jesus. Reading on in chapter 5, Paul makes this statement. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, that would be Adam number one, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, that would be Christ. Oops, sorry, that's Greek. The one man, Christ, the many will be made righteous. Jesus, as a human, how you guys doing? I know this is theology. Theology is extremely important, you guys. He's a second Adam. He remakes humanity. You're attached to the one, you become a sinner because you're attached to his disobedience. You're attached to the other, you're born again, you become righteous, not because of your righteousness, but because of the obedience of the type, the righteousness of Christ. How are you guys doing with that? Huge theology right there. But it's difficult. Sorry that I wrote Greek. But it's difficult to comprehend. So I thought about trying to illustrate it with some Play-Doh. This is fun. Play-Doh right here. And let me get this going on right here. This is fun. The Play-Doh represents the human nature of Christ. and of Adam. This represents humanity. Okay? Here we go. You might be wondering why we decided to go with green. We went with green because the people who work the cameras said that green would be best on the screens. It's a deep theological reason for that. Okay, human nature. The essence of humanity is not sin, you guys, it's not sin. Adam had no sin before he fell. Jesus has no sin. Here, this would be, this little thing right here would be represent Adam. Got it? So, human nature. So, what happens is that human nature just follows Adam. So, you get this represents, the circle represents disobedience. I could have used a square. There's no sense in circles. I just could have, see that? Everything on human nature, boom. This is a type of human nature. Right there. You go, like that. You got that? Why is that circle? Why is that a circle? Because it follows Adam. So this would represent Christ. Triangle, Trinity, I thought that's a good idea. But you can use anything. So, this is disobedient, leads to things that are like him. He is completely obedient, and it leads to righteousness. Where does the green get its shape from? Itself? The type. Where does the righteousness come from? Does it come from us? It comes from Christ. You see that? Not from our works, but from Christ. Because we are associated with him, we become like him. So humans need to be born again. Born again. He's remaking. He's like Adam in that he is a typos, a tupos, a type. But he's completely different. Disobedient leads to sin. Obedient leads to righteousness. How you guys doing with all that? I didn't hear you. Okay? This is good. All right. I think we're done. I think we're done with this. You know, this is kind of fun. Here, we got one more here like this. It's a little guy like this. I like to make little people like that. Oh, this. This is Pastor Matt. Hey, Pastor Matt, how are you? Oh, no, I didn't do that. I'm in trouble now, aren't I? All right. I'm having so much fun. I can't remember what the next point is. What's the next point? Jesus, human means that he can explain God to us. This is John 1. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Exeogenomai. Exeogenomai means when you look at the Bible and you want to try to figure out what the Bible has to say, you exegete the text. Jesus exegetes God. He explains to us who God. What do you know? Want to know what God's like? Study Jesus. That's what that passage says. There's an interesting narrative between Jesus and Thomas and Philip in John chapter 14. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, do you not know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. How do we know what God is like? We look at Jesus in his humanity. And when we see Jesus, we know what God is like. That's what that passage is saying. Now, what do we learn about God as we look at Jesus? What we learn about God is that God is more like us than we thought he was. Now, that sounds strange, doesn't it? Especially coming from me. Because usually when I talk about God up here, I'm talking about how God is above our ability to comprehend. He's like, you know, I pop up pictures of galaxies and stars and stuff like that, just about every other message. Because I'm trying to blow your mind about who God really is. God is beyond our ability to comprehend. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is in a category all by himself. Theologians refer to this as the transcendence of God. So you just picture something like that and something that is on the outside of it. It transcends. It crosses the boundary. God crosses the boundary of our ability to comprehend. He transcends our knowledge. He transcends it. But theologians also tell us that God is immanent. That is, he is with us. And he is like us. So Jesus brings all that together. God is both transcendent and immanent. Here's a picture that illustrates that. He's like, he made that galaxy, but yet he also walked around in the dirt and dust of human history. This is our God. And what we learn about our God is that he's more like us than we can possibly fathom. And that comes in handy in so many different ways. How many of us have been around someone who is this like incredibly famous? Like you've met someone who's incredibly famous and you're like, whoa. Like, you know, you're just kind of like, oh, nervous. You know, I don't know, Taylor Swift, Bono, Paul McCartney, somebody like that. That's just extremely famous. I've never personally met any of the presidents of the United States, but I think we'd all agree that presidents of the United States are very famous. I know someone here at Blackhawk who actually met President George W. Bush, and her name is Phoebe Turner. But when she met President Bush, her name was Phoebe Monteleon, right here, Monteleon. This is Phoebe right here next to President Bush. Now, she is in that picture because she was part of the 2007 Women's National Hockey Championship team here at UW. There's actually a couple more Blackhawkers in that photo. This is Tracy DeKaiser, and that's Mark Johnson. Mark looks a lot older now than he did in that picture, actually. Tracy looks the same. Mark looks older. But let's talk about Phoebe a little bit. I said, so how come you stand next to the president there? She said, well, the team appointed me to kind of be the spokesperson for the team, and I was happy to do that. And so I said, well, tell me something about President Bush and that whole thing. She said, well, we were all impressed with the White House. It's like unbelievable kind of just to be there. But you know what got me, Pastor Chris, is that he was kind of impressed with us. I said, well, I'll explain that. He said, well, the people said that this is the first time that they had brought in so many teams, like 15, 16 national championship teams, basketball, lacrosse, swimming, gymnastics, wrestling, things like that. All these teams were there. And then, you know, Bush, Pastor Chris, he's like a sports guy. So he's like a runner. He's into baseball and all this kind of stuff. So he puts all these athletes out on the South Lawn, and then he just walks around among it, gives us a talk. And then after the talk, he's just like, you know, he just wanted to be with us. And she said, she's like, he's just a normal guy. That's my point. God wants to be with us. He wants you to go, oh my gosh, in some ways, you're just like us. It's Jesus' frustration with Philip. What do you say? Show me the Father. That's the point. Hey, little aside, the reason I did the hockey illustration is today is the day that our women's hockey team find out who they're going to compete against in the national championship in the next couple of weeks. Let's hear it for the Badgers. Awesome. Many of us have problems with prayer because we picture God to be so up there and so high. Just I don't know what to say. I don't know how to talk. I don't know what to say. Stop. Just talk to God. Just talk. Just talk to him. I mean, when you explain it to me, why you don't want to, just talk to God like that. God, I don't know what to say when I don't know how to. If you could be around Jesus, what you would discover about God is that God's more like us than you thought. One more point. Jesus as human means that he can understand me. He can understand me. The writer of the Hebrews writes this: for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Because he himself is suffering, he's able to. Look at the next passage, Hebrews 4. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus' humanity is important because it helps us to know that he gets us. He gets all of us. There's actually videos that were in the Super Bowl, like 3 or 4 of them, with that very phrase. It's a great series of videos. He gets us. He gets all of us. It's because of his human nature. It's because of his humanity. He understands us. And oh my gosh, do you understand what I'm talking about? What you're going through, the struggles that you have. We're not talking to someone who cannot understand. We're talking to someone who gets us, who totally gets it. Years ago when I was a pastor in Shreveport, Louisiana, I had a friend who was a respiratory therapist at one of the major hospitals, and he called me up one day. His name is Bill. And he said, Pastor Chris, a tragedy has happened, and I don't know if you have time to come up to the hospital or not. I said, what's going on, Bill? And he says, well, there was this young man and this young woman, and they're bicyclists from Norway. They're actually training to be on the Olympic team at Norway. And they came over to Louisiana, because it's warm, to just practice right through the states, flat state. And today, while they were riding, a semi-trailer hit both of them and killed the guy. But the young woman has survived, and she's up here right now, and I'm a respiratory therapist, and you think you could just come up? She has no one here. Her family's in Norway. And I said, I'll be right there. So I go into the room, and she is just a mess physically. She's got broken this and broken that, and she's got scars everywhere. Just, you know, she's her bandages. She could speak English, and the respiratory therapist introduced me, and she said, this is my pastor, and I don't know if maybe you want to, because your family is, and I just said, oh, I'm so sorry. And when I talked to her, she just turned her head like this, just looked away. And I just said, oh, I just can't imagine what you're going through. I know it must be. And then I thought to myself, Carla. Carla's a friend of mine. And years earlier, Carla had been in a car accident. And when she was in an accident, she was with her mother and father, and a drunk crossed the median and hit them, head on, and Carla's dad died immediately. Carla's mom was ejected from the car, but Carla was thrown into the back of her father, and every bone in Carla's face was broken. She had broken this and that, and they had to sew Carla back up. She had wired jaw. She was in a coma when I did her dad's funeral. When I woke her up out of the coma, I was combing glass out of her hair. And I thought, Carla understands. So I called Carla up and I said, Carla, there's been an accident. Young bicyclist, I told her the story. And I said, would you get up here? And Carla said, I'll be there in just a second. And I brought Carla into that room of that young bicyclist. And I said, and Carla just looked at me. She goes, what do I do? And I said, you just tell your story. And she told this girl her story. And she was at first looking away, and then she started looking at Carla. And then as Carla got into what had happened to her, how they had to sew her face back together, and Carla has scars to prove it, you could just see the tears coming out of this young girl's. These women had never met before. You could just see the tears. And then all of a sudden, they were both crying. And Carla grabbed her hand, grabbed her shoulder, and as they were crying, I just got out of the room. Because that woman from Norway needed to be with Carla. Why? Carla understood. Many of us are going through things right now that we think no one can understand. Wrong. Jesus gets it. Have you ever been in excruciating pain? Pain that's beyond your ability to comprehend? Jesus has. He understands. Have you ever had some injustice done to you that was just not right? Jesus has. He understands. Have you ever had people that you poured your life into, that you loved, and they walked away from you? They walked away from you. Jesus understands. That's happened to him. Have you ever worked so hard you're just exhausted, and you look around and you don't know, you don't think anything's really happening. No one really gets it. Jesus has had that very same experience. Have you ever been tempted to go away from God, to do what you want to do because you want to do it? Jesus has been tempted. He's been tempted in every way like we've been tempted. He understands. When I put this message together, I thought, you know, this message needs to finish with some kind of a human touch, because we're talking about humanity and how important humanity is to God. So I thought, you know what? Jesus has got two bodies. One body's in heaven now, and the other body is, well, look to your right and left. It's the body of Christ. And I thought, what if we did this? Many of you are in serious, serious stuff right now. Or you know someone, a loved one, who's got serious stuff going on. Whatever. I think this is a time we can pray for each other. Just to pray for each other. And I want to give it a human touch. A lot of times we pray at the end of the service, you know, after everything's over. I want us to pray now. And I'm going to ask some people to come up forward, pastors and leaders here. And we're just going to stand here. And if you want prayer, we just say, get up out of your seat and just come forward. And we're just going to pray for you. This is an old-fashioned altar call. And it's not for salvation. We'll lead people to Christ if that's what you need. But it's just for prayer. You know someone who's going through stuff that's just incredible, and you've been praying and praying and praying? Come pray with us. Are you yourself going through something that is just beyond your ability to, you just can't? You go, it's everything I can do to be here right now. You just come pray with us. You need a touch of a human being. You actually don't need theology. You need a hug. That's why God became a human being. It transcends our abilities to cognate, our abilities to put things together. His humanity transcends that. So I'm going to pray right now, and if you feel, just come forward. Just come forward. My helpers are going to be up here. We're just going to pray with you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your plan and for the humanity of Jesus, how being human was absolutely essential to your plan. We pray, Father, that you would help us, as we are humans, to love on each other, to be people who cry with each other, to be people who hug each other, to be people who empathize with each other, because we are the body of Christ. I pray this in Christ's name, for the sake of his reputation. All God's people said, amen. All sites, all venues, just come forward.
Well, as Chris just said, we want to invite you as we sing. We're going to sing a couple songs, and so there's space now just to use this time to come forward. As you can see, there's already a ton of people up here ready to pray with you. It would be their honor to do that. So here in the room, I know we have the dynamic of cameras going on. It's already intimidating enough maybe to come forward, and then you have cameras, but they're not going to be focused in up front, so don't worry about that. Just come forward and pray. And then if you need to get out of your seat, ask people to stand to get out of your row. They would be more than happy to do that. So just ask, and let's help each other out with that. But we'll sing a couple songs. You can pray along or sing along with us if you want to. But come forward. There's people here who would love to pray for you. Someone as they pray with someone else, feel free to do that. You can come up and pray, and then they'll come join you when they have a moment.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. Jesus is calling. No, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior.
continue to pray. There's people up here that are available on both sides. But why don't I also invite you to stand? Let's respond to the hope that we have in Jesus, in Christ, who we just talked about. And if you want to slip out now that it's a little bit easier and come forward to pray with someone, there's still people up here that would love to do that.
Through the fear.
I don't know what it is that you walked in here with today, what kind of hurt, what kind of sadness, what kind of darkness you're facing or you've witnessed in this past week. Praying with people, I got to hear just a small sliver of it, and we are walking in hard times, hard days. But we have a God who knows what that feels like, and that changes everything. So if you did not get a chance to pray or you didn't feel comfortable coming up right now, these prayer folks are going to stay up here. We would love to pray with you. You can continue to pray in the chat. And I just want to remind us as we go from here, as you go and pick up your kids and go out to life and whatever it is that you're returning to from this place, I want to leave us with a benediction, a good word, a reminder of who our God is and what that means for us. It's from Hebrews chapter 4, which Chris read from today as well. It goes like this. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Therefore, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. Amen. All right, go in peace, everyone.